This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
We'll go over those in great detail tomorrow. Do we know about Shedeur Sanders' hands?
Bring your tape measures with you.
We did that. Early version of this show did that. Not only that, if you look over at the doorway,
Are there hand measurements over there?
We have our heights listed.
Your heights are listed.
We will actually, behind you, Daryl, host a broad jump event later on.
Okay. There's a little bit of space in there.
Do I got to run a 40?
Got to get ready, man.
Owen, when did we do that? Has anybody...
The heights?
Okay, do you think anybody shrunk since then?
I don't know. Double A's on there, so...
When do
it's been at least 2 years.
Oh, it was more than that. I thought it was like...
It's probably 3 or 4 years ago, yeah.
We all shrink.
I'm feeling
taller than ever. These new shoes I have.
We should totally have a fan combine.
Good luck.
Again, we did the hand measurements.
I will scout.
About seven Same. Or eight. Was it the Manziel draft?
It's been a while ago. Yeah, actually, I think it was.
Was it Baker?
It was the year that Jared Goff was drafted, I believe.
I'm just impressed those markings are still on the door jamb.
You thought the dust would cover it up?
Yeah, pretty much.
or still
a fresh coat of paint.
No. They're still hanging on. Meanwhile, the Cavaliers. What a story. They continue to be such a great story. Last night was a rare game that you could actually talk a little bit about the game, but most of these games are over, you know, by halftime, like Friday night.
Yeah, but fans were still like leaving the arena last night with a minute to go.
And yeah, it's
like
you were there.
It's like a 4-point game. I'm like, where are you people going? This thing isn't over. I mean, the Cavs are up, but
yes,
either you're really in that big of a hurry to hit the garage and beat the traffic, or you're just that confident that the Cavs had it in the bag.
Well, Ty Jerome, a magnificent fourth quarter. He had 15 points. I still can't get over this stat. 40-0. The Cavs are 40-0 when they are leading
after three
quarters.
Yeah.
So that's been a formula for them. The fact that, you know, the Grizz are 37-20. They're a good team.
You know what? Last night was we should be talking about what an off night it was for the Cavs. They did not win by 10 points. That was their 13th win this year by less than 10 points. What's going on with the Cavs?
What's going on is they shot 13 of 47 from three.
Oh, is that what it was?
But they were
explains why they ended up with like 57 rebounds last night.
Well, they had 22 offensive boards.
I know.
I mean, that is ridiculous. And part of it is Jaren Jackson got in foul trouble, which he does. And he got in foul trouble 10 minutes into the third.
They were like 1 for 22 in the first half. Shooting threes, players not named Donovan Mitchell. Like, Donovan was like 3 of 6 at halftime, and the rest of the team was 1 for 22. And they were still leading at halftime.
So you are starting to hear the national guys really not just talk about, okay, Cavs are for real. We know the Cavs are for real. Like, that's been ironed out. Tim Bontemps, who some people think has been a Cavs hater over the years. I mean, he came on with us on Friday, and he almost... I gotta say, he almost would like laughed off my question. He's like, "Yeah, we all know the Cavs are for real," Because I try to say, hey, is the national media coming around? He's like, we've come around. Like, they're good. They're good. There's no asterisk. There's no, oh, we're waiting for regression to the mean, or this is a plucky, nice story, but come playoff time. He's like, no, the Cavs can absolutely go toe-to-toe with the best teams in the NBA, which means that they are 100% championship contenders now. I think when we talked about it after that loss to Boston the last time around, and after they had gotten their clocks cleaned by Oklahoma City, where we couldn't even dribble the basketball and those guys were just all over us defensively. And before the DeAndre Hunter trade, I think everybody was like, all right, there's still a pecking order here. Boston is a clear number one. We are a clear number two. And since then, since they got DeAndre Hunter, and just you've seen more of them and there's no let up, it just seems like the Cavs, that Knicks game, I mean, the Knicks have been in our heads the last few years.
Yes, they're still in their heads. I mean, they're after the game, they're openly talking about, yeah, I mean, Kenny Atkinson's like, yeah, guys, I guess I heard the narrative that they were soft or they weren't tough or they got dominated on the glass in that series, but I hear the players still talking about that series. So the Knicks series is very much still on their mind. Donovan Mitchell mentioned how he is appreciative of what happened with the Knicks because of that taking place and the way they were dominated. They're at this point now. They're fueled by it. It's gotten them to this point.
I don't think we look at it as like, man, we need to kick their ass because they beat us. I think for us, it's more like, it sucks to lose. You know what I mean? In the moment, I probably wouldn't say, oh, I'm appreciative we lost. But looking back at it, this is pretty much, you know, obviously not pretty much, but like close to the same core guys that were there and experienced those, I don't want to call them blowouts, but rough performances. You know what I'm saying? And basically got out tough. And now you look at where we've all grown as a unit because of that. You know, I'm definitely appreciative of it. I don't really have a revenge type feeling. It's more so like this really is shaping us to be who we are. You don't just make a trade for myself and it just clicks. Like, it doesn't really, you know, it doesn't always happen like that. You have to go through those times. And that's kind of been my mindset on it. I don't really have any other feelings on it more so than like I appreciate it because it's really helping us continue to be who we want to be because we can have something to fall back on and remember of how that felt, to be honest.
Now, Mitchell scored 33 points last night as his team has now won 7 in a row, and there seems to be...
The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Be just absolutely no let up with this team.
I think for us, it's like the foot on the throat mentality. You know what I mean? Keeping a team down when they're down. That's the ultimate test. You're getting a bunch of different things. We've won close games. We were down in New York early in the season, came back and won. DG's closed. I've closed. Ty's closed. Like, Evan's closed. You know what I mean? So there's just so many things we're learning. We're not perfect, but I think, you know, as if we had to really look at ourselves in the mirror, we know we're pretty happy with where we're at, but there's a lot more for us to continue to grow. But the biggest thing is just no level of complacency, whether we're up, whether we're down, still trying to be the best team we can be.
You know, as you continue to watch them and they answer every single question, I mean, they didn't have Darius Garland last night. They didn't shoot well in this game. There's so many times over the last month where I've talked about all the things that might be working against them, and yet they come out and win. The fact that Knicks game was the second game of a back-to-back, I know it was the same for the Knicks. The Knicks were in overtime the night before. But still, that you're not supposed to just come out second night of a back-to-back and just roll teams the way they did the Knicks. And so then they have, this was a game, like before the game I saw once the Darius Garland news came out, people were like, all right, we're going to lose this one. Nope. Had the lead at halftime despite how poorly they shot. So you continue to see this team makes fans proud. I mean, I really think that's the way this is. Every time you see this team, every time you invest your time in them, there's a payoff. And now the only question is, what would change in the playoffs? And I've been worried about Boston. I've thought Boston all along was the better team, but I'm giving us a chance now. Like and of course, if we beat Boston, we can win the whole thing. We can win the championship. That's where this question enters into the picture, because did you see over the weekend the Lakers and the Nuggets, Daryl?
I saw the final score. I saw what the Lakers did, but I don't think I am believing in what you're about to pitch.
Well, the Nuggets had won 9 straight And they were starting to look like the Nuggets of a couple of years ago that won the championship. And basically steamrolled their way through with Jokic just looking like the best player alive. Yesterday, or during that game, was it on Saturday night between the Lakers and the Nuggets? That was the first time Luka looked like Luka.
Yeah.
And he had 32 points. LeBron had 25. That after he had just scored 40. So LeBron is continuing to play well. Austin Reeves. You got to now give it up to their head coach, who a lot of people... You know, Redick, when he got hired, that was like, well, we're just hiring a former player broadcaster.
Well, it looked a little dicey just even when the Lakers came to town.
Podcast co-host.
I popped in to his pregame presser, and I was like, I don't know if this dude's making it through
that
the season.
That was early in the year. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. I mean, he was just taking the shrapnel like you couldn't believe it. I'm like, I don't know if this guy even survives the season. And now here they are.
Yeah, now here they are. Daryl, Vegas. Now, I know it's the Lakers. There's always going to be an inflated price on teams like the Lakers, the Cowboys, the Yankees, whatever.
They want your money.
But the Lakers now have the sixth best odds to win the championship. So, dare I ask, Daryl, would a championship over LeBron James in the finals?
That would be delicious. I'm not going to lie. That would be delicious. For as much love and respect we all have for LeBron, right? For ending the drought and just what an incredible experience that particular summer in 2016 was. This group of Cavaliers beating LeBron in the finals, which by the way, I don't think it's going to happen because I don't think Lakers are getting there. But to play along, I think that that would just be absolutely the one of the all-time. It really would be all-time. Like I don't know. I don't know if it would top 2016. To me, what would top 2016 is if the Cavs won two championships without LeBron. If this group that got put together now, if they're able to win two titles, that would trump 2016. But beating LeBron in an NBA Finals for the second title... Oh, that would be scintillating. I'm in.
I just know there are a lot of fans out there who, even though LeBron won a title, the fact that he left twice, the fact that he's now been in LA as long as he's been there, he's won a championship with the Lakers, there would be nothing better for them than to have a Cavs team beat LeBron. LeBron be on the losing end of a championship run, one that had nothing to do with LeBron James whatsoever.
Well, remember, he went on a podcast. It was the Kelce Brothers podcast, New Heights, where he was like, something to the effect of, I set the foundation. And it's like, no, you didn't set the foundation. You left rubble behind for the second time again. You didn't lay the foundation for anything. Right? They were not in a good spot when he left.
All right, 216-474-0092. Want to hear from the fans. Would a title over the Lakers and LeBron be the ultimate prize? Would that be even bigger than 2016?